Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 54. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
We're back.
We are back. Hopefully we'll be back quickly with another one before the end of this month to get back on track. So we are a few weeks behind, I think.
Yeah, we're trying. We meant to be closer to on time this time, but I did not factor in that I was going out of town.
And then I went out of town and
it's all like, good. Also getting back from out of town, there's you have to like reset everything, like laundry, etc. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
it's like a lot. Fucking yeah.
It is a lot. But yeah, we got a pair of anthology films to discuss tonight, and we will get to those shortly. But first, Jeff and I have seen a bunch of films. We are in the midst of spooky season. So I've seen a lot of horror stuff, which is what we generally discuss here anyway. But Jeff, what have you been up to over the last little bit?
I haven't seen too many movies, but I did get a chance to see what is kind of like this phenomenon, which is the Terrifier series. I got to see Terrifier 3.
Yeah, me too.
And, if I recall correctly, I think you really liked, or at least you liked Terrifier 2. I still wasn't sold on this series.
I think Terrifier 1 is a bad movie with some decent gore.
Yeah.
I think Terrifier 2 is a good movie with some very, very aggressive gore. But it's a much better movie than the first one.
Yeah. But I was still not quite. I saw the first two. I think the first one is barely a movie. It's like a highlight, like special effects highlight reel. Two is almost too much movie.
It's two and a half hours.
And if I recall correctly, like my problem with it was, among other things, was that like it could have been shorter if it was better edited. Just felt like every scene, like every beat went on a half beat too long. And so if you were able to have someone who was good at editing, it could have been a good, maybe not out 90 minute movie, but 2 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
But also, I wasn't like sold on other things either. Like, I still think like the main thing with these movies is the gore, which should just be enough for me because that's kind of like one of my favorite things. But I don't know. I've just been really resistant to the series, and also like, near the end of two, it gets into some shit. Maybe you'll be able to explain it to me tonight. Where I'm just like, what? She's like the chosen one, and she's like an angel. She has wings. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, so that happens in two as well.
Yeah.
She gets the sword. They kind of, there's like backstory about the sword that she gets from her dad, which was her dad is a comic artist, and like they kind of go over that again in three.
Yeah, like there's a brief, like very brief flashback to, or like, flashback to it, but I think this is all nonsense. I'm like, what is this? Like, but anyways, all that aside, I got to see part three in the theater. And one thing about seeing it in the theater made it a little more special for me because I did not quite realize how popular this has become among horror fans. Like, people showed up for this.
It's huge, yeah.
Like, it is the most packed house I've been in the movie theater since the Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert film. Like, this was, and like, it full.
Should be noted that, like, it debuted at number one, $18 million, and this is an unrated horror film. Like, that received minimal marketing. Like,
yeah, whether you like the series or not, what Damian Leone has pulled off is pretty remarkable. Like, it's really cool that, like, this really small independent movie, like, and like you said, it's unrated, went number one at the box office. It beat a comic book movie in its second week, but still, like, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty,
yeah,
pretty impressive to him for it, and it's a really cool thing to see as a horror fan. But it added to the atmosphere, like all the people, like everyone can terrify our shirts, hoodies, fucking sweaters. I was like, what the hell? Like, I was like, this is wild. And I think this is the one where I finally came around to it. I think a lot of that had to do with, one, seeing it, you know, in that atmosphere with that audience. But two, it's been noted, I'm a pretty big fan of Christmas horror at this point, and adding that element to this, like,
just push it over the edge for you.
Yeah, as well as, and like, again, I'm still like, I don't know what's going on here, like, trying to, like, possess her, or what the fuck, like, I don't know at all, and I should probably rewatch them all, like, so I understand better, but it didn't matter, because I was just having fun with just being a little, like, prankster and doing these horrible, horrible kills. Yeah, so I had a good time with it. I thought it was actually, like, pretty funny at points, too. Yeah. And a little tighter.
A little bit tighter. I still wasn't really sold on Art as a, you know, slasher antagonist. At the end of two, and this one, I was like, yeah, he's getting up there. He's iconic. He is starting to, like, this one, they really kind of let him go. Like, he is, there's a lot of personality behind him. He is, like, you know, he's very funny as, like, a mime.
Yes.
And it's, he does, like, the clown shit, and it works real well.
Yeah. The guy that plays him is very good at it. And yeah, they, like, really, because he doesn't speak, like you said, he's basically a mime. They do the mime humor very well, with, like, him reacting to what people are saying and stuff, and him messing with people. Yeah, a whole bunch of people. Yeah, some people showed up in this. Like, when he goes to a bar, there's Clint Howard is, like, sitting there, and the other guy, I know him. He's been in, like, Rob Zombie shit too.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene in the bar I thought was fun. I don't know. Like, I generally had a pretty fucking good time with it. I thought the gore, which has been, like, again, I think it's the highlight throughout these movies. Even the first one is still fantastic here. Some really awesome kills. Like, huge props for the gore effects. Like, they're really, really, like, well done. And I liked it. So, I don't know. You saw it too, right?
I did. I think I like it a little bit less than I like two. But yeah, I'm coming around
for a lot of
people. Like, more. It's like, for me, like, I'm still not like, oh, this is an awesome, like, it's a good modern slasher. And, like, we don't have, I think somebody called it today, like, mascot slasher, like, which kind of checks out from, like, our gaming side of things. Like, you know, Freddy, Jason, Chucky, like, they're mascots in the way that, like, you know, Sonic and Mario are mascots in games. And we haven't had one really in a long time. Like, the closest we probably came is like Billy, the tricycle guy from Saw.
Yes.
Like, and that's not really that's nothing. Like, Billy is just a fucking, like, creepy doll that rolls out. Like, he's not even the killer.
Or even, like, even if you wanted to say Jigsaw is, like, you know, he's a slasher icon. Like, I don't really consider Saw slashers. I don't know.
But, like, that's the closest we've come to, like, another entry since Ghostface. Like,
and that's 20 years ago. Yeah. Like, so that part of it makes me like it. And also, like, so this is a tweet I saw from somebody I follow. And I agree with it. He's like, this is this generation's Phantasm. It's all one guy's fucking idea. And it's fucking out there. And you don't really know what's going on. But now I feel committed to, like, going through the series.
On board. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I agree with that. And, like, do I think Phantasm is the greatest thing ever? No. But do I think it's cool that this independent voice somehow, like, made it his mark? Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think it is a neat series that is out there. Like, it definitely did not start off on the right foot for me. Like, I think, as I said, that first movie, I think, is bad. outside of the gore effects. But it, you know, they've, as they've added more to it, they've done some story stuff that, like, I'm intrigued to see where they're going. Like, I don't necessarily care. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm in for the Terrifier lore, but I kind of want to see what he's doing. Like, is he going to pull this off?
No, I'm that's how I feel about it 100%. I'm like, I don't know if I, like, I don't even know if I 100% understand what's going on, but I'm intrigued.
It's fun.
You know, there's still things. I think like the younger brother is like not a good actor in it. Like,
it's fine. He's dead now.
Yeah. you know, but it really grew on me, like, to the point where I'm like, I kind of want to get this one on 4K when it comes out, because I just think it also feels, to me, it feels more like a film than the first two, because it just, like, I feel like he's grown as a director with each film. And this looks pretty cool.
And his budget has definitely grown with each one. But, you know, the first one was, like, really, like, low budget. And then the second one he did, I think it was, like, $500,000 or something like that. And this one, he got a $2 million budget. And, like, it looks better.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's editing it. I didn't check if he edited it himself again.
I think he did.
I think that it still suffers a little bit from those problems that 2 had, but he didn't try and make a 3-hour epic. It's a little bit tighter. It's fun to see him grow. It's fun to see the series grow, like, as they get more and more, as he adds more to it. So he says
he wants to end it with a part 5. So you can expect part 4 and 5, and that he wants them to be even shorter. So all good signs. And it's, you know, him saying that he wants to end it with 5 feels like he has, like, a little bit of a roadmap of what he wants to do with this crazy ass lore. But I'm in. I'll be there.
Yeah, as long as, like, I think I said this to you in, like, privately, in a private little chat, but, like, I wasn't like, oh man, like, I still think the bedroom scene in 2 is just fucking wildly out there. And it's like, oh, it's some of the same stuff we just talked about, where he, like, just scenes just go on, and that one just gets, like, goes uncomfortably long.
Yeah. So I do remember it went long, but I just thought that some of the stuff he did here, I was, like, even more impressed by. Like, even, like, I don't want to spoil, like, the biggest things, but, like, there's a kill early in the movie. He takes, like, a box cutter to the top of some guy's scalp, and then he, like, totally scalps the guy, like, pulls his whole fucking skin off his face. I was like, damn, dude. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess when you've done the things that you've done in 1 and 2, like, I don't know if there's necessarily any way to top them, but it continues to impress me.
Yeah, there's a kill in this one, and the genders are reversed, and the situation is reversed too. Like, I think the one in this one is way more. Everything's mean spirited, but the way Art is now portrayed, he is way more like an imp, like a fun imp type character, as opposed to this sinister. He's still sinister, but, like, you know, in the first one, he's definitely played as, like, this evil, mean, nasty clown, and now he's, like, kind of skipping around and shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a kill in the first one. It's you know, pretty much it's the scene in the first one where it kind of, like, bisects somebody. And they kind of do that again here. It's just a little bit different. And I kind of called it as it was happening. Like, oh, I see what he's going to do. But it's still fun. Like, all of it's still.
Oh, and, like, fun. Not even, like, that part of it, but, like, he attacks the other person with, and you just see it in the person getting damaged by a chainsaw, which, like, shit, man, I don't think any of the Texas Chainsaw movies have really shown me that. It's just like you know, the chainsaw just kind of, like, hitting someone's face and taking part of their face. It's like, damn, dude. Like, again, you could tell he spent, like, days and days and days shooting these scenes, like, and coming up with how to do this. Like,
he said that, like, I think that shower scene took, like multiple days of work. So keep going. I mean, if you're gonna go to 5, sure, I'm in for the ride.
I guess I'm a fan now. So I enjoyed Terrifier 3, and it'll be, like, part of the Christmas rotation for sure, because I do get the Christmas vibes in it a lot. Like, I don't want to like spoil anything. Like just one last thing. There's a part at the end or near the end where something about the shot just made me laugh, and I don't think I was the only one. And it's just like Art sitting at a fucking bus station, all depressed looking. It made me laugh, and I was like, again, other people in the theater were laughing at it too. Like, I don't know why it was so fucking funny, because it's just so absurd that you're supposed to like feel anything for this guy.
Yes. but as you know, it comes back to whoever's, I don't know who is playing Art, but super emotive under all that makeup, and just able to really express like comedic actions and like an emotion. Like he's able to like, it's funny, but like he overhears, there's a scene where he overhears, like he's listening in on a conversation, and and like the boyfriend is like, sounds like you want to fuck him or something, and he's like, he goes back and he's like, yeah, and he's like, oh, I don't want to fuck him, and he gets all sad, and it's hysterical,
great, like funny, it's very funny, like I don't know, I everyone laughed at that. I'm like, as you can tell, like I really enjoyed it, and I plan to buy it. So there you go. There's no higher endorsement than that.
I do wish that I had kind of experienced it like you did. That's how I experienced Terrifier 2.
Yeah.
And watching a horror film with a full audience that is engaged in the film just enhances the experience. Yeah, I watched it on like Monday afternoon. There was four people in the theater. One of who was snoring when I walked into the theater. So it was like it was dead. Like nobody else is talking. Like, and it's way more fun if people are engaged and laughing and cheering.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad you got to experience it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'll be back for opening weekends for that.
Anything else?
The other big theatrical release I saw was The Substance.
Yeah.
Which, for as much as we just talked about Terrifier, what a success it is, and blah, 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 I think The Substance is incredible. Like, holy shit, dude. Like, I think I said, like, my initial reaction to it, like, on Letterboxd or whatever, was like, this is a body, like, I felt like I was watching the next Cronenberg more than watching Cronenberg's Sons films, because I was just like, holy shit, dude, like, this movie just has style to spare, and what it like really goes for it with the fucking body horror shit.
It has a really cool story too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's an engaging narrative, to start off with, like it hooks you in pretty quickly.
And it's despite the fact that like most of it is like one actor at a time, like just, you know, this character trying to figure out what she's doing. And I thought Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley, both playing this character, were great. Like, I think they were both incredible. I mean, I have like a crush on Margaret Qualley, so that's part of it. But I think she's really good in it. I think Demi Moore is also really good in it. Like, I couldn't praise this enough. I thought it was, I think like right away I was like, Chris, you gotta go see The Substance, man. It really go, like, I didn't want to oversell it, but like, it really goes for it, especially like near the end. It's just wild. There's some like crazy, crazy body horror visuals in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And then it goes off the rail. Like,
yeah,
it kind of starts going off the rails anyway, like internally, but then it hits a point and it goes off the fucking rails.
Yeah. And like, I just didn't expect it to go as crazy as it did. And it was fantastic. Like, I loved, like, I actually went by myself because I knew, I heard the buzz around this movie. I couldn't like line it up with my wife. She didn't give a shit, but I cannot wait to show her this, even though I know her must be like, okay, I just, just want to watch someone watch this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, big, big fan of The Substance.
Anything else?
The only other thing I wanted to mention is the TV show The Penguin, which is on HBO. It's like 4 episodes in.
Okay.
This is it's a spinoff of Matt Reeves' The Batman. Kind of picks up right after The Batman. So if you haven't seen it in a while, the end of that movie, the Riddler, he does a terrorist attack to Gotham where he like blows up all these walls and floods the city. And among that, he also kills, can't remember his full name, but Falcone, the crime boss played by John Turturro.
Mm-hmm.
So where this series picks up like a week after, there's still like missing signs all over the place. One of our main characters lost his parents in the flooding. And Penguin is, you know, he's like this mid-level capo in the mafia. Like he worked for the Falcones. He, you know, had this club, and you know, that was in the Batman. But he sees like an opportunity to assume power, and that's what this series is. But it's like this interesting, like, I mean, there's more to it than that. There, you know, he teams up with this kid very randomly, but he sees something in this kid that, you know, that he recognizes in himself, and he wants. First of all, he just needs this kid. He's in a desperate situation, but then he keeps him around. He kind of like hires him as his driver. And that's kind of like the heart of the series, outside of like him trying to assume power, and he's trying to play the Falcones and the Maronis against each other. And he's dealing with, a lot with, Falcone's daughter, who has just gotten out of Arkham Asylum after a stint there. And she could also be like trying to assume power. So there's all this like power play shit going on. You know, the way a lot of people I saw describe it after the first episode was like it's Gotham Sopranos, okay. Which I guess is like an okay shorthand for it. But like, I just don't think that's really fair to what the Sopranos is or to what this show is. Like, if you want, like, that's an okay elevator pitch. But I just don't think that either those shows are doing the same thing or are really about the same thing. But if you're one of those people who, like, you watched The Sopranos and it was all about, like, who's in power and who's going to get whacked each week, I guess, maybe. But that was not what that show was. Yeah. And, like,
I think people use The Sopranos as, like, shorthand for,
like a short mafia. Mob.
Like, yeah. And, like, I know The Sopranos is deeper than that, but I think that's probably what they're trying to go for.
Yeah, I guess that's. That's why it's just like, yeah, I guess, but like this is, you know, and it's not to say that there's nothing going on in this. There definitely is. There's a lot of really great character writing and drama in it. Like, I find the Penguin to be a very compelling character in this. Is this guy who is handicapped and he just always kind of shit on, and he's seen as kind of a joke, who's had to, you know, he hasn't had his life handed to him like the Falcone kids have, right? He is. Mm-hmm. Had to scratch and claw for everything he has. I mean, that's always like a really fun, compelling type of character. And then to see him take someone under his wing and teach him that too, like you gotta like take everything in this world, you know, with force. I think it is compelling crime drama. It's four episodes in. I think it's really, really good. Like a big recommend. And especially like if you liked the Batman, it's just so that world that we saw in the Batman, like this story happening inside it right after the movie, I think it's really fucking neat. And, you know, it's worth a bit of the fallout of that movie. Where I'll land, I don't know how many be, and I don't know. I honestly don't know if they plan to do more than one season of it, or if it's supposed to be just a limited series. I have no idea, but I mean,
who's the Penguin? I'm drawing a blank on it. I know who it is, but
Colin Farrell. But you cannot see him in it or hear him in it. Like,
yes, he basically said he kind of said that he does not want to play the Penguin anymore because like
that makeup is
fucking brutal. So
yeah.
Who knows if back up a truckload of money to him, maybe, I'm sure, but anything's possible, but who knows.
So give you an idea of like the quality, in my opinion, is like Matt Reeves is not the showrunner. I mean, he's like a producer on it or whatever, but the showrunner is Craig Zobel, who did Chernobyl. So
Okay.
It's in good hands. It's, you know, HBO quality. It's definite recommend if you're into Batman at all or crime drama. Big recommends, at least so far. All right. Hopefully it plays out great.
Cool.
That's kind of it.
All right. Well, I've got a few here. Some that you've recommended to me over the past little bit. So we'll hit those first. Okay. I saw Rebel Ridge.
Oh yeah.
This is the only kind of non-horror film I watched, I guess, in the last little bit. That was fun. I enjoyed that a lot. I think you said it's like a modern day First Blood kind of retelling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Works really well as that. You know, really well acted. I don't think I came around as much on the action as you did, but I liked it overall. I thought a pretty good film. So
I guess I could say now, like, why I loved the action. And mm-hmm. what I loved is, I guess this isn't the only movie or thing that does this. I mean, I guess the Batman, you know, Batman in general does this, but the fact that he like goes to lengths to make it non-lethal, I thought was like a nice surprise. Because of this director who did Green Room, I was expecting like crazy gore and shit. But instead, this movie is like, no, this character like is actually trained in like non-violent, you know, or not non-violent, but non-lethal violence, I guess. And I was like a nice surprise. And they just have a lot of fun with that, where they're like, oh, he's the guy on the Wikipedia page and shit like that. Like, I really like, a lot of it is more like, kind of like the standoff between him and Don Johnson, and I thought it was so fun. And it kind of like, when it does ramp up and go crazy, it like just ends, like it just ends, like you're kind of like breathless, like whoa, like okay, that's the end, I guess. Like, I don't know, I'm huge fan of it.
Yeah, it's very good. And it's out there on Netflix, so if you have that, go watch it. Quite entertaining. Couple other ones. These are all horror. I saw Arcadian, which you had recommended a little bit back. I think you had kind of recommended, you had advised it was, hey, what if The Quiet Place had Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's that. And it's like Nick Cage in a more reserved role. He's not crazy Nick Cage for most of it. And, it's okay. The monsters though are really cool. They're really cool, really designed, and they're smart. Like, I thought that was neat. Like, you find out that like they've been like, you know, they've been trying to like infiltrate the houses and attack, but oh, why isn't it happening? It's because they've been digging around the fucking house. Like, it's really cool. Like how they break that stuff down.
That was to me like the reason to see the movie was the monsters.
They're fun.
The look of them, like their mouths, the way their mouths are snapped. Like,
yes. Yeah, they were like fucking velociraptors almost. Like,
yeah.
They're really cool, and but otherwise it is kind of like a poor man's.
Yeah, it's like place. It's a decent low budget movie. It's like I'd say cut above like a lot of stuff that comes to Shudder. So like that was why it stood out to me.
Yeah. Another one that you had recommended was Oddity.
Okay.
And I ended up liking that one too. It's one of those ones like, this is weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
And like it's an oddity. Like, it's really fucking strange. And you know, as things slowly get revealed, as it progresses, it's like, oh, okay. And like weird shit happens, and it's a fun film.
Yeah, you don't want to like spoil too much of like the surprise of it, but like the way I would see you as like an old EC Comics, you know, I fairly like early figured out actually what was going on and why. I was like, oh, this is one of those movies about people getting their just desserts, like. That's what the whole movie is working towards, and I think it does that in a pretty fun way with a pretty, like, I think, cool final shot that, like, I could picture as a final panel in a comic book. Like, I just thought it was neat. It's like a special, really tiny movie, you know?
Yep. But it's another one. It's on Shudder. That's a it's a fun one to go at. And then I saw Immaculate, which you had recommended earlier this year. I really love that.
I was waiting for you to see that because I was like, that was my first thought seeing Immaculate was that's has Chris written all over it. Like,
yeah, it's religious horror, and it's a really cool twist on it too, though, because a lot of religious horrors, like you know, demons and shit like that, and exorcisms, and like, yeah, some of that plays in here visually in some shots, but man, they like, I don't want to spoil what the like, hook of it is, but it's really, really cool. It's fucked up. And it's
also it's like fun. Wildly blasphemous, which I thought you would enjoy. I was like, just knowing that like you're a big fan of like religious horror, to see one that is pretty well done that is so blasphemous by the end, like I was like, oh, Chris is gonna enjoy this.
it was really, really fun. So I had a lot of fun with that one. And then real quick as well, I might as well just hit the other few that I saw. Salem's Lot. They did a new Salem's Lot movie. I don't hate it like some people do, but it's not good. It's like one of those movies that, you know, it's like a B-grade movie from the 80s. It just happens to be 2024. Like,
yeah, I can
imagine. Yeah.
I saw you say that. I saw someone else say that. Like, it reminded them a lot of like the Stephen King TV adaptations you would get in the 90s. Like, you know,
Tommyknockers
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of intrigues me. Yeah. Even still.
I was fine with that. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you can do with Salem's Lot that like makes this a better movie. I think the problem with some Stephen King adaptations is like his books are great, but it's not necessarily because of the core story. I mean, that's fun, but it's always the character interactions and you know, the depravity of the people in the town, and as we learn about them in it, like. And so when you condense it down to something that's, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, you're not getting that character interaction, and you don't have the attachment to those characters or like the hate to some of the characters and it just doesn't
it's adapt like
great.
It's like Needful Things. It's hard to do as a movie. If you want to see basically this, but done how you want, where you get to know the people in the town and their flaws and this and this and that. Midnight Mass is out there on Netflix and still highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think the other thing about adapting Stephen King is that a lot of what makes his books great is the like internal like monologue going on, and the, you know, the way they think about things, kind of hard to do in a movie. And then if you put it into like dialogue, it sometimes comes off hokey. But every time I like think about watching it, I just think about how like no one seemed to like, even you were just like, I don't know, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, like fine. Like it's not a good movie, but like I was like fun enough. Like I don't hate that I spent the, you know, hour 100 minutes or whatever it was watching it. Like I didn't hate it.
Lex G actually did a podcast review of this, and he talked a lot about how like it just seems like characters would come out of nowhere or storylines would get dropped out of nowhere, and everyone has kind of noted like it was clearly cut from a longer cut, which I don't know why they didn't just offer the longer cut. It says it's going straight to streaming. I don't get it.
Well, it's Warner Brothers, right? So they want to fuck everything up. It's just wild
can't make a good decision. Yeah,
yeah, it's wild that like this is the one that they put out, right? Like you had that Batgirl movie with Michael Keaton coming back as Batman. Like people would have watched that, like just for that reason. And you were like, "Nah, we're gonna shelve that shit." But you're gonna put like this mediocre Salem's Lot out, like whatever. That's there. I saw another film called Azrael. with I think it's Samara Weaving. Is that her name?
Yeah.
This one, I was like, like I saw a trailer for it. It's like the trailers don't. Sometimes they give too much away. Sometimes they don't give enough. But I was like, the imagery here looks cool. It's interesting. It's a cult film, and it is almost 100% no dialogue.
Okay.
Because the cult, you'll quickly learn that they've like kind of they don't talk, and they've cut out the tongues, or they've cut out not the tongues, they've like cut out the vocal cords of the people in the cult and those around them. So they can't scream because they hear things out in the there's monsters in the woods and they can hear you. And there's like one character who's like, you know, he picks up Samara Weaving's character at one point in a car because she's like wandering in the woods, and he speaks, but he's speaking the entire thing either in Spanish or Portuguese, and she doesn't understand him either. And the whole thing is fucking wild. The fact that like this 90-minute film, or 80, I think it's like 86 minutes long, and it's engaging from start to finish. Like, it's not great, but I was like, I was intrigued by everything that was happening. And there's some brutal kills in it as well. So I don't know if I would not rush out to the theaters. It was just one that I was like, oh, this is playing, I have time, I'm going to go hit it. And I did. And I think it's going to be coming to Shudder at some point.
Yeah.
I was just surprised by it. Like that was neat. And also Samara Weaving has kind of become like a scream queen for the modern age, and to have her in a film where they, like, she cannot scream. Like, she does not, she does not yell. She does, like, it's entirely silent from her. Interesting concept, I think.
You know, this is one I saw somebody mention in like one of my groups on Facebook, which is where I would find things like Oddity. Unfortunately, I've been kicked off of Facebook, so I'm gonna have to, like, I don't know, deep dive into Reddit or something to find like a group. Like, some of these like things I find, like Oddity, was solely because people kept talking about it in this, you know, this group I was in.
Yeah.
And it's all gone now because fucking Facebook is
That sucks.
But
one more real quick. Apartment 7A.
Yes. You
heard about this one?
I'm aware of it. I haven't seen it.
So it's a Rosemary's Baby prequel.
Yeah, sure.
That nobody needed.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was like clamoring.
Nobody wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's particularly good. It looks beautiful. I think the acting is actually really good. It's just a really boring fucking story until like the last 10 minutes of this film. It's too long. And it's tied to Rosemary's Baby. Is like, I guess the main character in this, she is briefly seen in Rosemary's Baby, and then she commits suicide. Or that's what they say. And so this is like the lineup to that, to her dying. And you get to see the events of it, and that, like, you know, the entire apartment is cult-like, and they've been trying to bring back the devil, which, you know, through Rosemary's Baby. I don't know. It's nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's really, really dull. Like, it's just really boring.
It got no buzz. Nobody talking about it. I know some people seen it, but yeah, it just got no buzz. Also, like, yeah, what? See, like, a prequel to Rosemary's Baby? I don't know. It seems
absolutely unnecessary.
It just seems like it hasn't been in the culture like something like The Exorcist has. Like, you know, at least there's been sequels to The Exorcist and stuff. I don't think I've seen Rosemary's Baby since I was a kid, which also was funny that I would watch Rosemary's Baby as a kid. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's been so long. I just remember. I know what happens, right? Like, I remember that. But
yeah. Yeah. Nothing here worthwhile though. But I have all these streaming services, and when they pop something new on there, it's like, oh
yeah,
that's interesting. Like, why, why is Paramount dropping a full-on, you know, horror prequel to an iconic film? Like, no buzz. They're just like, it's out now. Like, that's weird. I'm going to watch this weird thing. And it was, here's why, because it's not good. So, that's it. So, I do have, before we get into it, Jeff, I do have a question. This came up on something I was listening today. Do you have a line that, like, for horror, that's like, you know, you can't cross this? Like, this is like what you, like, this is the thing that, like, you just can't deal with in horror. Do you have a line?
No. And if, like, I figured out what it was, I would love to see something cross it. So that's where I'm at.
I think, like, I'm just like, there are like subgenres I do not enjoy. I think we've talked about, like, the you know, kind of like the female rape revenge stuff. Like, I'm not I don't like that stuff, but I will watch them.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a line either.
If there is, again, I'm stepping over it.
Yeah, it's like I think that's horror, and like for people mm-hmm. that really like horror, that is like you want to get to that line, and you want to, can I go past it? Like,
so,
I don't know. I don't think I have a line either.
Here's the line. Click the For You tab on fucking Twitter and have fun. There you go, buddy. You'll see there. You want to see someone fucking die and, like, get wrapped into a fucking piece of machinery, and it's fucking real. Like, yeah, it's, and you know what?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, I don't want to see that shit, but, like, when I click the For You tab, they like push it towards me, because if I do see that, I'm going to look, because I'm like, it's like I have that problem where if, like, you see a wreck, I have to turn my head and look.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I can't control it. So, like, I've seen every horrible imaginable way someone could die at this point, and I think it's horrible. Like, it's awful, and I don't think that should be, like, on Twitter, but, like, even there, that's a line I'll still cross. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, what's this?
Yeah, I think, like, real stuff, I think that's, like, but again,
baby,
like,
yeah.
I will, like, all right, yeah. I don't watch this. I really shouldn't watch this, but I'm going to.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's get into our double feature here. We got a pair of anthology films that we mentioned last time out. A film called 10/31, which is the date of, you know, it's the date of Halloween, October 10th month, 31, the day of Halloween. And that's one. And then the other one is the latest VHS movie called Beyond. We're going to start off with 10/31, which is the older of these two.
Welcome to my Halloween Monster Marathon with me, your host, Malvolia, the Queen of Screams.
Does he always wear that mask?
All the time.
Definitely a good way to cap off Halloween night.
I don't have any candy.
All those naughty kids love their Halloween.
The Scarecrow. It's still here.
Run, Mikey! Run!
Go!
Uh, 10/31, it's mentioned, anthology film. Came out in 2017. Directed by, you know, a bunch of different people because it's an anthology movie. So there's four shorts, I believe. One, two, three, four, five shorts. Five shorts in 1031, and we're going to go through them, you know, one by one here. Like a lot of these anthology films, this kind of has a wraparound, I guess, where we meet Malvolia. She's the scream queen or something.
She's kind of like horror host or your keeper.
Who's the Elvira?
Yeah,
kind of reminds me of that one, like just kind of like a very iconic seductress from like the 70s, 80s type thing. I think that this wraparound beginning and end is useless. it's nothing. So we'll skip into that. The first one though is called it's called The Old Hag.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one's fine, I guess. How did you kind of come across with this first of the anthology stories?
I think it was one of the high points of the movie.
Okay.
I wasn't like, if to me felt like a short story you would read in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of like, you know, anthology horror would kind of feel like that, but it felt a little young adult. I like the idea of a demon that, you know, they kind of compared to sleep paralysis. Like it's a sleep paralysis demon, except that it is actually real. I thought this one was like, story-wise, maybe one of the better of the bunch. You didn't?
It was fine. Like I wasn't really. So the premise here, sorry for not hitting that. The premise is like these two guys. They are filmmakers. They show up at this like Airbnb type thing, bed and breakfast type little motel thing, run by this older woman, and she wants to, you know, bring new people in, so she needs to have a commercial made. And you know, it's kind of goes through, they're going through the commercial aspect of filming it, and one of them starts seeing like weird shit happen, and then, you know, the other guy doesn't, and the owner is kind of just being a little cagey about things. And as things progress, like they end up having to stay there overnight, and that's where this demon kind of comes and murders them.
Oh.
And it's because there's a hook with the owner. She has to, I guess, sacrifice two people or two souls once a year so that she can rest.
Yeah, so the hag will leave her alone. The hag like tucks her in. Yeah. I mean,
you know, story wise, it's fine, right? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with story wise, but like, in terms of
comparing it to the rest, I don't know.
Okay,
we'll see how you feel about the rest.
I came away. I was like, it did not start off strong for me, and then move into, this short called Trespassers. It's a little bit kind of slow, but I thought there was kind of like an 80s kind of vibe to it. And where were you on Trespassers?
It's all right. I think story wise, this is also one of the better ones. Like, you know, like, we get to hear this little legend. This couple's going to go check it out. Uh-oh, it's, you know, it's actually real. And take some, like, okay twists and turns for a short story. That's how I mean.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're out on a date, and they go out into this field, And, you know, it's one of those like, hey, here's like the urban legend of this, this local, this is the local legend of like, you know, this is haunted and some murder happened out here. Everyone knows of like that area in your hometown that kind of has this. And I thought this one was kind of fun though. Like, you know, there's a cursed scarecrow. It's amateurish. It looks amateurish, but this is it's kind of like a low budget kind of film. The acting isn't great, and like everything's kind of a bit cheesy in this one too, like even more so than the first one, but it kind of has, I thought it had like a fun vibe to it that I was like, yeah, this is a good time.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that.
Then, the third one coming in is called, Killing the Dance. This one is, it's a girl. You know, she's having some trouble with her mom, and she works at a roller skating rink. And I think this one could go. I have a feeling you hated this one, Jeff. Yeah. And I came out going like, it's kind of fun. Like I enjoyed like the 80s music going on. And anyway, there is this. You know, she's in a relationship. She's ending up. She's gonna skip town, and. Throughout this whole thing, you kind of find out that there's like a killer coming out, and it turns out it's her mom at the very end of it.
Yeah.
I kind of had a good time with it. I thought like color wise, everything looked good. Like,
I am shocked.
I came away going like I like this one, and I was like, Jeff is gonna absolutely.
It's funny that you tagged me. I think this is where the movie falls off a fucking cliff. Like, okay. I just, this thing, it goes on and with these endless shots of people fucking skating around this rink for fucking ever. And like, I didn't really have a sense. I'm like, she's got like some scumbag boyfriend, but she's leaving with some other girl. Like, I was like, unfortunately to the, you know, maybe not fair to this film, starting to zone out here. Cause I was just like, what is this? And it totally lost me here. But honestly, I don't know. I thought it was bad.
That's fine. Like I figured that this would be one that you were like, I don't like this one at all. it's definitely, there's like a weird art house vibe to it. And I was like, I'm into this. Like, I think it might have just been like I think it's better shot than the other two. Actually, I think it's better shot than maybe all of the other ones. And I kind of like the vibe. I like a roller skating rink, like this weird you thing have that's to happening. For this one. Yes, true. Not surprised that you came away from that going. This is not a good one. Then we got the one I think is maybe the worst one, the Halloween Blizzard of 91.
Yeah,
this is Halloween is happening, kids are trick or treating. Well, not really, but like it's Halloween. They're supposed to be trick or treating, but this big snowstorm has come in, so like they kind of shut down early. And they do get some trick or treaters. It just so happens that they are these like murderous little imps, goblin type things.
Yeah.
That are dressed up and they're gonna kill everyone. And also Santa Claus is involved fucking somehow.
Yeah.
And he knows, you know, if you're naughty or nice, and like evidently he wants to kill all the adults, but also if you're a bad kid, he's not going to bring you with him. There, you get to join the Halloween team of murderers, and if you're a good kid, you get to go with Santa.
Okay, let me give you my notes for that one. Family Halloween,
mm-hmm.
Forever set up. Kids go to bed.
It takes forever.
Kids go to bed. Mom sees scary trick or treaters in the house. Santa's in the bedroom, boys' bedroom. Question: what happened in that one? That was my notes.
Laying with the kid in the bed, and like the dad, instead of opening the door, is like, "It's like, you should go to bed." It's like, who are you talking to? Like, Santa? Like, no, just go to bed. Like, what the fuck? Like, you could just open the door. Your kid's like 8. Like, what are you doing?
He's not doing anything.
And there's a weird, like, there's a weird subplot, which is strange to say, because, like, they don't go anywhere with it, but it's, I guess it's implied that the sister of the wife has had an affair, or at one point may have, like, hooked up with the husband, because, like, there's this weird interaction outside in the hallway. But it doesn't go anywhere. It's like, why is this here? Like, it just cuts the flow, really. And it took, as you said, took forever for anything to fucking happen. Yeah. It's just them talking and, like, about Halloween and work. And it takes forever for these little trick-or-treaters to actually show up and start causing mayhem. And the mayhem they cause is weak. Like, it's not particularly good.
Yeah.
And then finally there is, it's the Samhain slasher, which is like, it's a pretty standard kind of Halloween, you know, themed thing. Like, hey, they're, you know, teenager wants to go to a party. Oh, there's a serial killer on the loose. So, like, we don't want you to go out, and he goes out anyway, and bad shit happens and ends up being, I think everybody ends up being murdered in that one. I don't know. I kind of lost track of this one. Like,
same just kind of like here,
really generic.
It was like that you described where it's ultimately going. It's just kind of a slasher thing. Right. Yeah. But like, there's so much extraneous shit where I'm just like it starts off where he has a dream of his wife committing suicide in the bathtub, and then he wakes up from it, and I'm like, what the fuck? What did that have to do with anything? And then, like, I think it ends with the guy waking up, and you're like, was that all a dream? What happened? But then, no, he gets killed too. And, yeah, I don't know. Didn't do anything for me. I don't know.
Yeah, like, that's like, oh, we're gonna tackle on this family drama and all this family stuff, but we're not actually gonna explain any of it. And the serial killer is not gonna actually have a tie to any of that. It's just, he's just gonna kill you.
He's just a killer, and he's gonna kill you. Yeah, I don't know. Again, like I said, I think after the first two, this one fell off a cliff big time. Like, none of the last three I thought worked at all.
Hit for you. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, like all anthologies, you're gonna have some that are okay and some that are not great. I think that this one, I mean, it's relatively short. Like, it's not.
It is, thankfully. Yeah, it's like, I think, under an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like these are short stories, which I think, you know, some of what we've explained here, maybe they try to pack a little too much into them, like, instead of just getting to it.
They're padding them out. Like, even, like, the first, I don't know how it ends up being, like, an hour and a half. Because, like, the first one I looked at when it was done, it was, like, 22 minutes. I was like, shit. Okay. Yeah. How are you going to fit all this into fucking an 80-something minute movie? And they somehow do. Also, they just feel like random elements. Like, again, I think, you know, this is pretty amateur. Yeah, and yeah, like, I don't know what else to
say. Yeah. I mean, it's an amateur, low budget, independent horror anthology. I didn't hate, but, like, I don't think it's particularly good either, but I didn't hate it. Like, it's just kind of, exists. Like, it is no, what it was, what's Trick or Treat?
That, yeah, no. That's like the one.
It is not. It's no Trick or Treat. It's no All Hallows Eve. It's not even VHS.
Exactly.
Like, especially not the good ones. Like,
you know, and I don't think VHS is Trick or Treat. Like, you get very few creep shows and Trick or Treats, and a lot of it is, you know, not as good.
But, you know, it's out there. I think it's fine. If you were looking for something that kind of fits the vibe of spooky season and you want something short story wise, this is fine. There are definitely better anthologies. Somehow this got two sequels.
Yeah, I saw that.
I have not. They're on my like list to kind of like poke at this month, but I have not gotten to them yet. But I am just surprised that like somehow they have two more.
Is this a Tubi like production? Because that's where I saw it.
It
almost makes you wonder.
I don't think it is, because I don't think part three is on Tubi.
I thought I saw it on there.
Or maybe it just got added. I've seen it on other. It's on another service too, though. It's on a, what is that? The Screambox. I think
maybe it's
also
maybe
on there.
Yeah,
it could be because they do some low budget garbage too. So not to like, you know, say it's completely garbage. I think it's fine for what it is. I'm going to be much more generous with it than I would be with some of the other shit we've watched this year.
Okay.
Final thoughts on 1031 though, Jeff?
Look, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the Halloween theme, but this is just like too amateur of a production for me. Like when movies look and sound and are acted like this, like I just can't, like I just don't like them usually. Like, you know, if I watch some low budget 80s, for whatever reason, I could deal with that look, because that looks more like a real film to me even then than this. Like this just looks like some who bought some off the shelf equipment and thought they knew how to make a movie. Again, I'm not trying to be mean because I didn't hate it, but like I'm just trying to describe like this type of look and this type of acting, I just can't. Like I think most people who would turn this on would probably turn it off pretty quickly, and I think they'd be right to do so, because I don't feel like they would be missing anything. Like I don't think any of the stories here or any of like the effects or anything that happens was anything that I was like I could recommend to somebody, or like really, again, I thought the first two stories were okay, like almost on paper, where I was like, I could see, like, I thought they were decently written as stories, but even those I thought were like pretty poorly made. And so, again, I don't hate it. I'm not trying to be mean to the movie. Like, it's fine that it exists, and I wish people luck. Like, obviously, they were able to make sequels out of this, so good for them. But for me, it's just like, easily skippable, and I just, you know, I wouldn't have stuck with it if it weren't for you know, doing the show. So I'm gonna go, it's gonna sound harsh, but like 3.5 out of 10.
Okay,
just didn't do it for me.
I understand. I've also, I know I've subjected you to a lot of like shitty low budget horror over this year. I could definitely see where you're coming at. I've seen so much worse. Like some of the Amityville stuff is like
worse somebody than with this?
Their like, fucking eye. Yeah, absolutely worse than the
like just production wise.
It's
Wow.
Like I always look back at a film that we watched years ago for Movie Dudes, Five Across the Eyes.
Gerbert Allen found footage.
And like, but just like so amateurishly done that it's just like borderline like incomprehensible.
There's
a lot of films that I've watched, like the Amityville stuff, especially the later Amityville stuff, which is that I don't know how they've gotten a budget to make anything, and like this is better than that, so it's like, all right, I don't hate this. Like somebody's trying to do something. Some of it worked. I enjoyed the first three. I think, you know, I enjoyed the. I didn't really like the first one. I enjoyed the second and third ones, and then the fourth and fifth shorts I did not like. But you know, as I said, it's like one of those things where it's like, you're going to come into an anthology, you're not going to like everything. And it's like, these are fine. Like I don't hate them, and I think they're better production wise and better acted than some other shit I've seen. So I did not hate it. I don't love it, but I'm gonna come in at a 5 for this one.
Okay.
And then we're gonna jump right over to VHS Beyond, and this is a, you know, VHS is a long running series now. This is the seventh VHS movie.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, seventh movie. Seventh of these VHS movies. They kind of started almost about a little over a decade ago in 2012, and they get some big names to do some work here. You know, I think the first one had Ty West working on one of the shorts. You know, and this one has Mike Flanagan writing one of the shorts. We'll get to that one shortly. But they get people, and they market them really well. They come out on Shudder now. I think Shudder may produce them at this point.
It's like a Shudder series now. Yeah, like a yearly, yeah. Which is like, I think it's cool. Like, I kind of dig the VHS series, and so it's kind of cool that Shudder has like a new VHS coming out every year.
Yeah, so since 2021, they have released one every year. Just funny because like it went like 2012, 2013, and 2014. And then it went 7 years before we got
Ormond. Another
one. Yeah. And it's, I guess, Shudder picked up the license and they've been producing them ever since. And I think they've done a really good job.
Yeah.
You know, over the last little bit, last year was 85, so everything was kind of like themed to the 80s.
I think that was the best one, maybe, because it had the two stories that like interlocked.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the one that like starts off like it's like these people like kind of just going out like fishing and drinking and stuff, like a bunch of young kids, and they were like, yep, recording it in the 80s, and it goes wild, and then like that ties into another story later, which is also really good. So, like, I think that might be my favorite of the series, honestly.
Yes. Yeah, they did. I thought that one did a really good job, and also the vibe of 85 was great.
Yeah.
But like that was what the last three have all kind of been like themed to a time period: 94, 99, 85. This one, VHS Beyond, is the latest one, and
everything that we thought we knew is called into question. Maybe we're not alone. Maybe our company does not wish us well.
Biggest discovery in human history.
These tapes have to be considered the Holy Grail.
I know we all want to put an end to this. Tonight we get our chance.
Just keep filming.
I think you could probably, you know, infer from both the poster and the title that they moved away from the time period, and the theming here is going to be kind of like weirdly alienish.
Yeah.
For the most part, I don't know if that was a great choice.
Yeah.
For the most part. But we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different shorts here. Yeah. Six shorts over this. Abduction. And I'm trying to find my notes here.
Wraparound.
Yeah, it's like abduction and adduction is like the kind of like the wraparound thing, like,
which is like it plays like I always think of that show Sightings from the 90s, which I'm sure nobody has any fucking clue what I'm talking about, but I know that there's like on History Channel now or whatever channels, like there's these shows where like they're like basically like talking head documentaries, but it's about alien bullshit.
Yes,
and that's kind of what this is. I kind of dug the wraparound because of that, like, because some of the shorts are bad in this, I think, and so when mm-hmm. I just come back to someone talking some bullshit about like some of the alien shit that they talk about is like stuff that's like real, like, or that like, you know, not real, whatever, like it's something that's been documented in history that people believe in, and like,
yes,
I just felt like I was watching one of those dumb shows, which coming out of like some of the shorts in this was like better than watching the short. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's I think some of the framing in VHS has been maybe not great over the time. This is one of the better ones, I guess, maybe.
I don't know. I really dug some of the last few, like the maybe would have been the last one. They had that like a weird, it was almost similar type like documentary TV show about, I think it was like a boy with like powers or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the wraparound. It adds up to like nothing. It's just like, oh, here's some footage at the end of an alien abducting someone.
Yes. So yeah, it's not like, but it's at least kind of like fun, and it hits that vibe of like,
it's a nice break.
Weird alien shit.
Yeah.
The first real short though is called Stork. This one's directed by somebody named Jordan Downey. It is a bunch of like cops, I guess. Like they're going into a house looking for a bunch of missing babies. They've gotten a report that they're in this house, and this is just a weird action kind of zombie-ish, like we're fighting off these like zombie creatures, and it's a SWAT unit in a house type scenario.
Yeah, it's just I guess okay start, because it's kind of like balls to the wall action, and then you get the goofy ending where it's like you see the stork and you like understand what is happening, like how these zombies are being made.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was in the middle on it. I was okay. Like I was just like, that's out there. That's a weird
concept. It's a weird premise. Yes, it's just it's, and I think what this one maybe does better than some of the stuff in 1031 is that it like it's very tight. Like here's our premise. Here's what we're doing. We're not going to add a bunch of extraneous bullshit to it. You know, I didn't come away from like, oh, that was like super cool and I love it, but I also was like,
it was straightforward. Got to the act again, it was like mostly action. That's fine, you know, nothing. I don't think this is one of the standouts for me, but you know, it was fine.
Yeah, so the Stork, fine.
Yeah,
then brings us to Dream Girl, which is a kind of takes place in India, and it is you know, these two, I guess, paparazzi, I guess.
Yeah, they're like trying to sneak into like this Bollywood production, this big new star, right?
Yeah, and you know, trying to get photos of her on set, and they sneak into her trailer, and it turns out that like, well, some weird shit starts to happen there.
Yeah.
It turns out that is she a robot? Like,
I could, dude, that's one of my notes. Wait, is she a robot or something? Or okay. That's my notes. Okay. She has like the red eye, like the Terminator, you know?
Yeah, like that's why I was like, oh, so she's like an android or something.
I have no idea, but like, they also make it out like she's a demon. I don't know.
Yeah, this one's weird. I didn't like it. There's not really a whole lot going on.
No. I thought, like, honestly, at first, I was very intrigued by the setup because we're in a kind of a different setting. I like the idea of paparazzi is like trying to go in this movie set. Like, where is this going? And then it turns out it's going nowhere. Like, it's just like, oh, the monster's going to pop out of the box, and that's it. Like, I don't. It took like, I got an intriguing premise, or not even, I don't know. Yeah, kind of an intriguing premise, cool setting, and then just like, it was honestly, I thought one of the low lights of sucks because I thought it had potential, but just went nowhere.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so she's either a robot or a demon. It's unclear, and then she kills everybody.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that is that entire short.
It's honestly like long. The first one ends up being more interesting in the end because you're like, ooh, what is this creature? You know, like here it's just like it's nothing. Okay, she's some sort of, I don't know. She's just bad.
Something that kills. Like that's it. It just doesn't do anything. Yeah, I did not like this one either. Just didn't really work. Which brings us, I mean, they're just like all throughout this, there's like these little interludes, as Jeff said, about the like little alien kind of documentary type shit that's going on, which some of that is actually.
This is. Literally, let me give you my notes. The end of the second one. Dumb, dumb, dumb. And then I wrote, every time it goes back to the fake documentary on aliens, I'm more interested.
Like, yeah, I could definitely see, like, oh, I'm kind of into this, like, weird fake alien documentary as opposed to this. All right, so then we got the next short is called Live and Let Dive. This is it's a guy, his wife, and a friend, and a bunch of, like, other friends. They all go skydiving for this dude's birthday. And just as they're getting ready to jump out, kind of like something flies by, looks like an alien spaceship, very clearly. And some fighter jets chasing after it. And then an alien kind of jumps onto the fucking plane. And they all jump out at that point. Some of them like are not able to deploy their parachutes. And die straight up, but hitting the ground, and others get injured. Some of them are able to land, and they're in like this orchard type grove area.
I don't know. Or yeah, an orange grove.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like becomes like one of those ones where it's like, oh, we gotta find the survivors, and like there is something in this orange grove with them, and it happens to be fucking killer aliens.
Yeah, and then, then it just becomes action, like just running around and crazy shit happening.
Yeah, I think this is where the, you know, you can see that, you know, these are all still kind of like, they're short, generally, they're not like super big budget, but like,
you there's, know, there's this, some budget here, yeah.
There's a budget, like there's, these aliens look like fucking aliens, right? they have a cool design to them. It's pretty simple, like, you know, overall, but I think you ended up liking this one a little bit more than I did.
I love this one.
Okay.
I like, cause your take, like in the first minutes of it, when there's people getting ready to skydive, you have a main character's kind of recording everything and he's like afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of planes. I would never skydive. So you're putting, you're starting me in a situation that like is scary to me. And then you're like stacking insanity on top of it. Like just all of a sudden it's fucking World War fucking, you know, like War of the Worlds. With these skydivers caught in the middle of it. And then it's like turns into like fucking crazy Call of Duty on the ground. And then dude like gets his fucking finger blown off and he's trying to drive a truck. And I think that was actually, yeah, like when he runs into like a redneck who's driving around the grove. He's like, what the fuck you doing? You need to get the fuck out of here. He's like, no truck. You gotta let me, I swear to you, there's something, you know? And then the redneck, I think, shoots him. And he gets his finger like blown off. It's kind of like hanging off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the alien kills the redneck and he's driving around. I just like this took like, it had enough of a little setup, that by the time I got to the, like the action, I was like, I just found it such a unique premise. I thought it was just like cool seeing this like alien ship appear outside of these people that are about to skydive. And then like, you see the fighter jets fly past going after it. I dug it. I forgot where it ended up though. Did it end up with
the UFO like Zach? That he's the only one that was left alive. He gets
abducted.
Yeah, he gets the whole truck gets sucked up.
By UFO. Yeah. This is like, I don't know. I don't know if I put it like a top five VHS segment for me, but like. In this film, it's my favorite, easily.
Okay. Well, my favorite is the next one, directed and written by Christian Long and Justin Long, who's been doing quite a bit of horror the last little bit. This one's called Fur Babies, and it kind of follows a couple people that. They are going into this called the Doggy Dream House, and it's like a doggy daycare. But like these people think that like bad shit's going on there, so they're going undercover to find out what's up. And what's up is fucking weird, man. this lady. She keeps lying, like they keep catching her in lies, like, oh, nobody else lives here, nobody else is here with me, but then her brother's at the table, and they are going on this whole tour, and they get led downstairs, and she kind of like shows them like zones in the area, like this is where the bad dogs go, and you know, if you know bad dogs there, they get punished, and this is a little weird. And then she reveals that like she knows all along that they're here trying to like do an expose on her. She's gonna shut them down. And what she means by I'm gonna shut you down is she's gonna kidnap them and turn them into like human dogs. Like where she trains them, they're still humans, but she's gonna train them to fucking be dogs.
You know, now that I think about it, didn't Justin Long work with, was Justin Long in Tusk?
Yes, he was. He's the fucking walrus. He's
fucking ripping off Kevin Smith. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. This one's fun. It's weird. It's goofy.
I think what really, there's something weird about, like, and I'm a dog person, but there's just something weird about dog people.
Yes.
It plays into that. And I think that what really makes it work is her performance, like the crazy lady. Like it just she seems like a dog lady, but then she's turning that to evil. Really fun.
She's like a super crazy dog lady. Yeah. Fucking wild. And then it has an awesome final kind of like scene.
Oh my god, dude.
Where like some like the packages, you know, they get left on people's steps, and then like you have these people that try to steal shit, like porch pirates or whatever, and one of them is trying to steal one of our packages. Fucking one of these human dog hybrids like has a camera, like a GoPro attached to its neck, and you just watch it kind of like chase after this dude. he mauls him to death. And then she like gives him like a little like treat.
What made I don't know why. But the thought of him like when he busts through the doggy door, the fact that she has like a human sized doggy door for this guy to like jump through, I started fucking howling. I was like literally laughing out loud. I was just like, you know, I was having fun, but that's just a really, really fun line to it. I don't know why. It's just funny to me. It cracked me up big time. It was just it's a good ending to the short.
Hysterical. You know, for so far, like, you know, out of this, I was like, I haven't been in love with any of the shorts up until this point, but Fur Babies got me going. Like that was it was the best thing I saw in the entire you know, out of the five there. And then that brings us to Stowaway, which I was really looking forward to. This was written by Mike Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
Who, we mentioned a little while ago in the show, because he is kind of like the you know, brains behind The Haunting of Bly Manor and
Midnight Mass, baby.
Midnight Mass, you know, all of that stuff that's been going on there. Plus, he's also done like some, you know, good film stuff as well.
Like, he is like the go-to Stephen King guy now, like how Frank Darabont was for a while. Like, he just gets how to tell Stephen King stories.
He did a really good adaptation of Gerald's Game. He did a excellent adaptation of Dr. Sleep.
Yes, yes.
So yeah,
and like, this telling is
the guy
you,
I've been to.
I'm a fan of him. I'm telling you, Chris, you gotta see Midnight Mass, man. Like, it takes a while to get going, but fuck, man, it is so good. Yeah, so I can see why you're looking forward to the short. His wife directed it. What's her name? Kate Segal.
Kate Segal. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's been in like almost all of his projects.
And yeah, and actually, you know, I don't know her personally, but I know, you know, the actress who was in this, Alana Pierce, she used to work for IGN, so kind of know her from there. So it's like, oh, actually, I'm watching it. I didn't know she was in this. Yeah. I'm like watching it, and I'm like, she looks fucking familiar. And then I was like, who? And like, look it up. I'm like, oh shit! Like, she used to like host the IGN Daily Show. This is a weird fucking one. So Alana Pierce plays this woman who she's documenting extraterrestrial encounters in the desert. You know, she kind of talks to some people that, you know, oh, I saw some lights, whatever, blah blah blah, and then she sees lights in the sky, and she goes to investigate it, and she finds a ship, and she goes into the ship, and then weird shit starts to happen, and man, this fucking thing is so dull and boring and just not good.
It so surprised me that it came from them. Like, I was like, oh, which one did, you know, because they show you at the end who did what. And I knew that, you know, that team had done one. And I was like, oh, that's probably going to be the best one easily, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was the worst one.
Yeah, maybe.
It was like you saw the Outwaters and wanted to copy that. And I was just like, really? Okay. Like staring at a wall for fucking like in the dark for like most of the end of this. That's not very exciting. Like I tolerated it once with the Outwaters and I gave that movie some praise, but it really felt like they were ripping that off. And I was like, I don't know how many times you can do this. Like,
and I think there didn't really touch on it, but she like cuts herself and there's like these like little nanites that come out and start to heal her. Like they heal the cut. But what you find out is that, you know, the ship, I guess you don't actually find this out, but like the ship has like, you know, other stuff that's been copying its DNA. And it's because of that, it's now rewriting her DNA. So she starts like having these mutations. But because it's a found footage, and she's shooting the footage, you don't really get good shots of the body horror that is implied to be happening to her. And I think if there was another person there, or, this one may have like something to it. It's just this was not the format for
you that. You're in the dark, staring at nothing. Yeah.
You're gonna do like this body horror thing. It just doesn't work.
And honestly, I was maybe zoning out because I didn't pick up on any of the shit you're saying. I just noticed that she was in a spaceship and weird shit, and the end. Like, I was like, wow, that's a dull note to go out on for this. Like, put a sour taste in my mouth about the whole fucking thing.
I caught when she cut herself, and like, oh, like there's like these nanobots that come out, like that's neat. And then she starts mentioning that, like, these things are changing her. Like, she's like, like things are happening. But I guess we also should notice that, like, the spaceship takes off and goes to space. So she's in space as well. They don't really go on that. And it just kind of ends with, her being these nano machines, like, kind of still working on her. And she's in some sort of pain because of this stuff. But then it's just over. It just ends. It's like, really just doesn't work.
Yeah,
That's it.
And then you get the wraparound, which we already touched on how it ended, which is,
yeah.
Here's some spooky footage of a abduction or whatever,
which is better than that last one. Stowaway. So,
and you've gone to the well so many times in this one movie with the people getting abducted by. I get that's the theme.
Yeah,
it's just like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, so I do wonder if when you have like 94, 99, 85, and then like your previous ones were, your previous ones weren't really,
they were like a temporary.
Yeah.
They would try to like do wraparounds and shit. Should have just done 86, bro. Just start going from there.
But like your themes were based around time period, and now you have this theme that's based around space or aliens, and like I don't necessarily know it works as well as just like, hey, do some like cool horror shit in the 80s or do some cool horror shit in the early 90s or early 2000s. It's like, do some cool horror shit with aliens is like very limiting. And like, to me, like the best one in this didn't have any fucking aliens. It
was the one that like didn't fit with the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, just are you into like alien shit or is that like not?
I do. I like sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I guess I don't know. I'm not necessarily into like alien abduction shit. Like, so
I was as a kid, like in the 90s, big time. Like, I believed,
fire in the sky, Jacob's ladder, that type of shit. Yeah.
Sightings was my news program as a kid.
So, yeah, I could see where maybe this hits a little bit better for you, where it's like, I like sci-fi stuff, I like space stuff, but, it ends up being more like Event Horizon or Alien as opposed to gray aliens from Mars in their space saucer.
Yeah, I'm fascinated as an adult now. I'm fascinated by that 90s kind of view of aliens where that was like the idea of like they're coming to abduct you and they're little gray men. And I'm fascinated by it now as a phenomenon of like, everyone that, like, it's weird that so many people believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the theming of this. I just personally don't think this is as good as the last few. That's all. Like, it's just
that could be it too. Like, might not be the theming. It just might be that like most of these shorts aren't as good as ones we've seen previously. All right. Well, where do you end up on VHS Beyond, Jeff?
I think what I decided excited about a series in general is that you're going to get one or two that you really like.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a slog to get there because you're sitting through two full hours of shorts. And that's the same here. Like, same thing, you know, but a lot of the other shorts, are like, it's literally like being on a carnival and a ride where something pops out and goes boo at the end. And I just thought that the, like, again, I think the last couple before this kind of like were sort of raising my expectations of what you could get out of a VHS movie. And this kind of lowered it again. I really enjoyed like the aliens attacking the skydivers, and I got a real kick out of the doggy daycare. But overall, I just think it's a step down. Again, you have to wade through a lot of stuff that's not that good to get to the ones that are kind of fun. I recommend it because, you know, it's something new to watch during the Halloween season. It's not terrible. You're going to have a few thrills. You know, if you like the series, it's worth checking out. If you like the series, for me, I thought it kind of peaked with last year's. I kind of talked myself up to a higher score on this than I was initially. I'm gonna go 5 out of 10.
Okay. Wow. I thought you would be higher than me coming out of this. Because I also like the VHS series. This is maybe the biggest let down in the series, but I hold those other ones, I think, up maybe a little bit higher. And this was just, especially the last three, really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's worse ones than this. It's just the last three were better than this. That's what I think.
And this one only had, like, for me, normally there is, like, you know, two, maybe even three out of the five or six that they have that I'm like, yeah, I really like these. There's always a stinker, you know, there's always one that I'm like, I hate this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
But this one really, like, the only one I was like, yeah, Fur Babies is the one for me. And yeah, it goes against the theming in this one. And Stork and the skydiving one were okay for me. And this has two really bad stinkers with Dream Girl and Stowaway.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah, I still like the series. I like the format. Yeah. And it's, you know, I think I ended up giving it a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and it's kind of where I'm at with it here. I'm going to go a 6 out of 10.
Okay. Oh, so then we both think that this is better than...
it's better than 1031. It's just... It's
in a different league.
Inherently, it is a... Like, this is professional people that know how to make movies and shit.
Mike Flanagan worked on this one, and not just some guy.
Some dude with a camera that was like, I can make a movie. Justin Long, like, worked on this, right? Like there are people that people know that know how to make movies. Even if, yes, Justin Long did. I didn't even think of that. He fucking ripped off Tusk.
It hit me as you were describing it. Because as you were describing it, I'm like, it kind of reminds me of the Kevin Smith movie. And I was like, hasn't Justin Long worked with Kevin Smith? And then, like, I was like, wait, wasn't he in? Like, he's the guy in Tusk, right?
He is the guy in Tusk. Yeah,
so he's fucking ripping off Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith should sue
him. I think him and Smith get along real well. He just showed up in that new can't remember the name of it.
The 4:30 movie.
He was in that, and he was in Clerks 3. Like, briefly, he just shows up. But yeah. Anyway, that's where we're at. VHS Beyond taking down the independent anthology.
And again, despite it being a disappointment, I'd say check it out this Halloween season. It's a new horror movie, and it's not terrible. There's a few that you may enjoy, you know.
Yeah. Jeff, what do you have on tap for us? Okay. Hopefully in like a couple weeks. Hopefully we get to watch them really soon.
Hopefully soon. I'm excited about this one. I think it will lead to an interesting discussion as well as some strong opinions. So I don't know where I really don't. But I want to do a movie and its remake, except this is an inexplicable one. We are going to do Speak No Evil from 2022,
mm-hmm,
versus the American remake that just came out, Speak No Evil 2024. Now, the original was mostly in English to begin with, and it just came out a couple years ago, but we have to make it more, and I'm interested to see how that affects it. I guess the last thing I'll say about that is that, you know, Evil, I believe, is still available on Shudder. We are hoping that the new one comes to like a normal rental price soon, because it has an expected Peacock release date of November. So we're, you know, hopefully early-ish November, we get to watch these both.
And where is the original?
I believe it's on Shudder. Like, okay. That's where I saw it originally. I think it is still there. I think they have like the rights to it or something. So,
I may get lucky if I want to go out at night.
Oh.
It has one showing for like next week in my theater at 9 o'clock at night every day. So I could possibly do that.
I don't know how you might hate me after
that. Yeah, it's fine. I can use my A-list for it.
I'm just saying for what I put you through with these two movies.
Yeah. But yeah, so looking forward to those, and hopefully we'll be able to watch them soonish. If not, we'll be coming at you early mid-November. We're hoping to have it before then, but
hopefully earlier than this time in November. And all right, closer to the beginning. We're trying.
And I have mine picked out for after that, so I will let Jeff know off the air what they are, and maybe we can hit both of those up pretty quickly.
I think we can get back on track by the time it's for our Christmas episode.
Okay.
So yeah, I look forward to like real dark depravity for next episode.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll be back shortly, hopefully. Not too far away. Catch you then.
Happy Halloween.